Started last week on dove season, and we're going to kind of keep the same thought pattern because we didn't finish it on bird hunting. And because, you know, bird hunting is one of those huntings like bow hunting. If you get into bow hunting, you are a bow hunter. They say you usually won't hunt anything else. Bird seasons are the same way. People that get into bird hunting, that's what they do. And I don't really understand bird. I've never been good at it, but I mean, it consumes people's life. You find duck hunters, and they're duck hunters. I mean, the number one show for the last 3 years on TV was all about them guys that have the big long beards wearing the camo tuxedos, and their life is built about duck hunting, made multi-millions. And now, last thing I actually saw was last Christmas. We'll dismiss the kids. I'm sorry. Yes, kids, you are dismissed to go with Pastor Jason and Pastor or Miss McKeeva. They're doing Kidmo. If you don't know what they're doing, Kidmo is a great program that they're doing on Wednesday night. So if you got kids, you want to get them in and learn the word in a unique fashion, unique way, Kidmo is what they're doing. But bird season, I was saying the last time I read the numbers I was reading about the duck dynasties, they have turned $3 billion in profit. Now, the duck guys hadn't got all that because A&E got a bunch of it and Walmart got a bunch of it. And you know, but $3 billion worth of duck dynasty merchandise and things have been sold. That tells me this. There are some avid duck hunters out there. And as a matter of fact, last month when me and Jennifer and the girls were in Monroe, we don't care nothing about duck hunting. We like to show it's funny, but we decided while we were there, because we were there, we actually went to the Duck Dynasty, the Duck Commander. You see the place on the show, and they got a big gift shop there, and we went there just to say we went there. Took a picture of the girls in front of the Duck Commander, Buck Commander sign, like you see on the show. I mean, there, and it was packed. It was packed in there with people buying stuff. And it's amazing to me how big duck hunting or bird hunting is. But what amazes me is this. No one thinks it's odd for men to invest thousands and thousands of hours of their life to go into unique or go into foreign places that you would never think to find people or human beings being at, and get into conditions that you would never want to put yourself in. The reason why I don't duck hunt is because it's cold. That's just the truth. They say it's freezing. You wade in cold water, and I don't do it because it's cold. But and another reason why they say it's expensive. Never found that out either. But they go into remote places, and they dress in unusual ways, and no one thinks that's weird, and they sit together, and they begin to make weird sounds. But yet, you take Christians, put them in nice clothes, in nice buildings, and in nice atmospheres, and nice confinements, and put them together, and they begin to make weird signs and weird sounds, and everybody's like, "Ooh, what is that? How weird is that?" You know, when the best thing you can get out of going duck hunting is a good dinner, when it comes to hunting the Holy Spirit, man, it changes your life forever. I mean, I'm not a duck blower. I don't know how to make the duck sound. Is anybody in here a duck hunter? Anybody duck hunt? You do a little bit. So I'm not going to embarrass myself. Well, since there's no duck hunters in here, I can say, I don't know how to make the right sound with these. And if there was a duck in here, they'd have known that was not the right sound. But that's a unique, weird sound. But yet, if I was out in a duck blind, dressed in a funky way, trying to dress up. I mean, anytime you try to make yourself look as close to a bush as you can look, you know, that's unusual and weird, but yet we don't look at that and say that's strange. But we do when we come into the church, when we begin to come together and we dress certain ways. You know, you put on suits, it begins to make people uncomfortable. You don't got to, we're not that kind of church, you know that, I'm not sure. But when you try to put people in church clothes, they start feeling weird or unique. That's where a lot of people don't come to church, because of what people wear, how you got to dress. Aren't you glad we don't go to one of those churches? You got to dress a certain way. I love the fact that we can come as we are, and that's not unusual. And because we're in a church like that, let me also say, we're in a church that believes in making funny noises. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Last week, this is what we did. Last week, we talked about the beginning and the thought pattern of duck hunting, or dove hunting, and taking it off the spin that we're hunting the Holy Spirit. And the reason why most people think the Holy Spirit's weird is because we've chose to allow it to become weird. We've made it a back closet thing, or we've put it in such weird conversations, or there's always been that one, two crazy people that would come to church and get to acting weird in the name of the Holy Spirit and giving the Holy Spirit a bad name, that people have stopped doing it at home, or they only do it when they come to services. And then what happens is it begins. And so really churches now, they actually go out into places trying to find the Holy Spirit instead of the Holy Spirit being a part of it all. So last week we talked about three ways to incorporate you finding the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys this week began to look in the Word as you read the Word, listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you? All right, we talked about finding the Holy Spirit through reading the Word because it was inspired by Him. And so if you're not in the Word, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit. All right, number two was, how many of you guys started at this week, caught yourself in any way talking to the Holy Spirit? Just saying, Holy Spirit, I wish you would reveal yourself to me today. Holy Spirit, I want more of you today, because it's part of. If you're hunting the Holy Spirit and you start talking to the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, how many guys sang to the Holy Spirit this week in any time? All right, well, we're going to stop just for a minute. And we're going to take just a second. I want to pick up right there by allowing us to take a second and sing to the Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, the Holy Spirit has never ruined anyone. I've never met anyone whose life got worse after they received the Holy Spirit. But in contrast, like I told you last week, the Bible says don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Never seen the Holy Spirit ruin anybody's life, but I have seen alcohol and wine, and they ruin people, but we don't think that's weird. So I'm asking you to go into this with an open mind. Tonight we're going to be talking about speaking in tongues. And like I said, I was a children's pastor for years, so I talk about it probably in a different way than most people do talk about it. But before we do, I want to make sure we invite the one we're going to be talking to tonight, and we're going to do that through a song. So I've asked Joe to get us a song ready. I'm going to ask you to get comfortable where you are. Me being a children's pastor for all the years that I were, I found this out. When you're usually in adult church, adults have a mindset of how to get spiritual and how to receive the Holy Spirit and how to do all those kind of things. But I have seen more kids get filled with the Holy Spirit, giggling, laughing, and chewing gum and talking to the person beside them than I have adults trying to be as holy as they can be at the altar. And the Bible says to come to God, we come to a childlike faith. Why? Psychologists have proven that a person has perfect faith at the age of 7. And if they will hear the gospel and have an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit by the time they're 7, they will carry that most of the time, like 80% of the time, through the rest of their life. After 7, every year, the percentage goes down. And by the time they're in their 20s, if they've not received the Holy Spirit or been saved or received the Holy Spirit, the chances of them actually having that a part of their life besides absolute miracle or in a chance of great catastrophe, they don't do it. And so that's why it's so important we have children's church. I'm glad we got our kids. I speak in tongues, I can be honest with you, today because I received it when I was a child. Because if I'd have waited till I was in my 20s, you probably could not have shown me how simple it is. But nowadays, we find a lot of people that don't have it, or they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they don't have the gifts flowing through them. And this is a big controversial thing, and I argue it with some of the best. Is the doctrines say, well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be the evidence of speaking in tongues. I agree with this. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had the ability to speak in tongues. Did I do it? Not right off. And so is there proof that wasn't there? That'd be like saying, you know what I'm saying, a car out there don't have a motor in it because you can't hear it running. But once you learn how to put that key in and turn it and you can crank it, that sound proves there's a motor in it. The Holy speaking in tongues is proof. But can the Holy Spirit exist there? Yes. I can prove it to you like this. Because the Bible says John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was in his mother's womb. So it does not. It said he jumped. But it did not say he spoke in tongues. Now, I believe every person that receives the Holy Spirit has the ability to. Now, whether you get out of the way or not, that's up to you. Or whether it's like this, you know, every person born with vocal cords and a tongue has the ability to speak. But it takes them a long time to get there. My girls were 2 and 3 years old before they were actually speaking English that I could understand. And then, so saying all that, we're going to go in tonight with an open mind. All right. I've told you last week that speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a salvational issue. It's proved in the Word of God. When the thief on the cross by Jesus just chose to believe in Jesus, and today he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So it's not a salvational issue. But I was telling people before service, I have 101 points in tonight's message. And it's called 101 points are 101 benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And we're not going to get over 101 of them. But, you know, anything that has that many benefits, you'll take a pill that you've seen commercial people will. I won't say it because I don't know everybody, but people will take a pill that they'll see on a commercial on TV that will say that will help them do one or two things. And as soon as it says one or two things, then the disclaimer comes up of all the negative stuff flying by for 5 minutes that this may do, and they'll still take that pill. I want you to know something. There's not any negative disclaimers with the Holy Spirit. And still yet, we're afraid of it at times because, you know, I tell you, there's only positives with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to get into that. But before we do, we're going to set the atmosphere, invite the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask everybody to get comfortable. Like, you don't got to get spiritual. I'm not talking about getting spiritual. I'm talking about getting comfortable. Get comfortable. We're going to take the next few minutes and we'll invite the Holy Spirit into here. So if you're comfortable, stand and stand. If you're comfortable, sit and sit. But we're going to sing to the Holy Spirit for a few minutes and let Him know He is welcome in this place. Go ahead, Joe. Start our song for us. get started and believe in God that He's here. The speaking in tongues gets a bad name because a lot of people don't understand it. How many of you guys, when the smartphones first came out, you weren't going to get the smartphone because you were so used to running with the flip phone? I still know people today that have not progressed to the smartphone yet because they think, well, that's just too complicated. I'm not going to, you know, I know how to run this way. And that same thing still works with the smartphones. There's still people running off the first version or the second version of the smartphones, and they don't upgrade to the next one simply because it's different. And I got to be honest with you, when it comes to phones, I love getting the newest version out there. Now, Jen's different than me. As soon as the new one comes out, Chris likes to get the newest one. Every time you see Chris, he's got a different phone. He's got it worse than I've got it. But Jennifer, this is what she says. She says, now you go ahead and get it, because when the one you're going to get is going to have all the problems, and they don't have time to work out all the bugs. So after you get it for a while, then I'll try it out. And so Jennifer, up to this point, was still running on an iPhone 4, and I had the 5S, which was four levels above it. This is the first time she's actually got a phone above me. It's because hers broke. And so she had to go on and get the next one out. But when it comes to things of God, too, there's still Christians that think, man, that you still got to pray the way they prayed in Genesis. You know, bringing the goats up and making the sacrifices and all. I got to be honest with you. God was in the apple mindset. Every so often, He showed up and showed us a better way to be able to access Him. And when God introduced the newest upgrade, and I'm not trying to give the Holy Spirit any cheap level when I say this, but when He gave us the newest version or the next one, man, it was better. You say, well, Cricket, show it to me in the Scripture. Jesus said this. He said, you know, up to the point when Jesus came on the planet in the New Testament, He was born, God had been there. Well, actually, at the beginning, the Bible said the first actual person of the Godhead to be on the planet Earth, the Scripture says, was the Holy Spirit. Because it said this, it says, in the beginning was God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, and the earth was void and without form. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved across the waters. So the Holy Spirit is not a new thing. We like to title it the new thing. But actually, the first personality of the Godhead, the Trinity, that was spoken about in the Bible about being on the earth was the Holy Spirit. Just not a new thing. But we couldn't access the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit could come upon people, but He could not stay on people because people were born into sin. That's why it was like with Samson. It says the Spirit came upon him, but then the Spirit would leave him and he would lose all his power. Man, don't you know that he wished he could keep that power all the time? That's the power about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We can keep that power all the time. All right, so moving into it, it's not a new thing, but it is an upgrade from just salvation, because Jesus said this. Jesus, all right, so God was the one present on the scene in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come and help do the work of God, and the whole Old Testament spoke of Jesus. But when Jesus showed up in the New Testament, Jesus showed up, and He said this, all right, my work is complete here. In other words, now I got to go to heaven, and I'm going to send someone, the Bible, Jesus said, is actually better. It's better for you, He said, for me to go. It's better for me to go so that the Comforter can come to you, is what the Word God. In other words, we got a new version that works better. How many of you guys are glad we're still not running off the old bag phones? You remember the old bag phones that never got signal? You think you don't get signal now, but remember when that stuff was around? Or the big old fat piece with the big antenna? Aren't you glad technology took an upgrade? Well, if you want to think weird about God, you can think weird about God, but we can think simple about God too. I mean, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, God said, I've got a better, not model, because it's not a model, but I got a better access for you. And He sent the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why the Holy Spirit gets a bad name is because we don't understand it, especially when it comes to speaking in tongues. The reason why we don't understand speaking in tongues is because we don't take time to study the Word of God and on the speaking of tongues. There's actually 20 scriptures in the New Testament that speaks about speaking in tongues in the King James Version. So those that think the only only version to be able to read out of the Bible is the King James, you still got 20 scriptures to deal with in the New Testament that deal with speaking in tongues in that translation. So it is a real thing that God wanted to make available to us. Now the problem with this, there's a whole chapter in the New Testament that explains speaking in tongues, but very few churches or denominations preach on it, and it's found in 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it speaks, the whole chapter is about speaking in tongues and how the church should deal with it and things like that. Because, see, what you got to understand before we get into the actual what speaking in tongues and how we benefit us, you got to understand there are three different types of speaking in tongues. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about those. See, we try to lump it all together in speaking in tongues and heavenly languages and all that. But in the New Testament, there are three different types of speaking in tongues. And one of the types is the speaking in tongues that gives the idea of it a bad name. How many of you guys have ever been sitting in a service, and it's usually one of the older ladies in the church or an older gentleman in the church, and in the service they jump up and start making sounds and speaking noises that you don't understand and nobody in there understands, and you know, usually the young people all get real pale white faced when that's taking place. That is called the gift of tongues. Now, that is true. That does happen. That is a gift from God, and it's the gift of tongues. And what the Bible says about this is, when the gift of tongues happens, it needs to be said, and the person that does it is the one responsible for it, because there should be an interpretation for it. And it's truly a gift of tongues. In other words, it is a movement of the Holy Spirit when it happens, and there is an interpretation to it. Now, you want me to explain that any better? I can't. I got to be honest with you. I've never done it. The reason why I think it's some of the older people in church that get it is because they're a lot more mature spiritually than a lot of us young guys. And so when it takes place, my aunt is one of the main ones. And you realize she's one of the oldest members of this congregation. She sits right here, and Aunt Jeanette, and she'll the Holy Spirit, that gift will hit her. But the thing about it, she knows this. It's not the gift if there's not the interpretation of tongues. And so my thing is this. If you're going to be used in that gift, you better know it's the Holy Spirit. Because then we're supposed to turn and wait for the interpretation. And so, you know, that's one of those things that makes me scary. But I'm so glad it's actively at work in here. But the truth of the matter is this. That's not the same tongues that's all the way through the Bible. There's another tongues. It's called the miracle of tongues. And the miracle of tongues is this. There are stories throughout history, and very preachers that I know very well, where they will, where someone will be speaking in tongues in services. They'll either stand about, one of the ones that come right to mind is John Bevere. He's one of the guys that, I love to study and read, and he tells a testimony about how he was sitting in a service, and he just felt the urgency and the need to begin to speak in tongues. And so he was sitting on her own, he began to speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. And after service, the lady in front of him came to him and said, "How in the world did you learn French like that?" And she said, he goes, "I don't know French." She says, "I'm from France, and you were speaking in perfect French dialect to me, telling me everything that God had been confirming in me." And so that's a miracle of tongues. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't know. That don't happen all the time. That's a miracle of tongues. And so the Bible, those are two of the types of tongues. There's stories all the time about how kids will just be praying in tongues on mission fields, and it'll be them preaching the gospel, speaking the gospel in that, whether it be in Hispanic or whatever like it is. It's in the Bible. It says when the disciples on the day of Pentecost walked out, they were speaking in tongues of the people that were out there. They weren't speaking in tongues like we get in our mind, an ununderstandable tongue. They were hearing the gospel in their own language in the day of Pentecost. That's the miracle of tongues. So you've got the gift of tongues, which is to take place in the body of Christ, and it's supposed to have an interpretation. When I'm in my prayer closet, I'm telling you, the gift of tongues is not taking place in there. Why? Because I'm the only one there. And that is the purpose of the gift of tongues, is to edify the body. And the body's not in there. So, you know what I'm saying? If I'm saying the gift of tongues is hitting me in my prayer closet, I'm wrong about that. Now, the miracle of tongues is not taking place in my prayer closet that I know of. Because I don't speak French. I don't speak German. I don't speak any other language. And so when I'm speaking in tongues, I don't. So what is it that I do? I do on a daily basis what they call the prayer of tongues. Now, the prayer of tongues is the one that is the most commonly used in a Christian's life. The gift of tongues is done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to come and give them, you know, get that gift, cause that gift to move. The miracle of tongues has to be done by the Holy Spirit as well. Now, the prayer of tongues is up to me. I'll show it to you in one of the scriptures here. It says this. It says, go to Joe, if you don't mind. Let me find the right one. Let me make sure I got it. We'll go to Acts chapter 2:6. Let's show the miracle of tongues first. It says in Acts chapter 2:6, it says, and now when this noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Isn't that amazing? That it says every man heard them speak. Now, that wasn't them speaking every language. It was every man hearing them speak. Does that make sense? That's the miracle of tongues. That was them speaking it and God taking that miracle. Now, the prayer of tongues, I want to read it. I got to find it right here. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As what? As the spirits gave them utterance. All right, so who did the Spirit give utterance? Them. But who was speaking? Them. Wasn't the Holy Spirit. So it gave them utterance. But it says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit. In other words, the miracle of tongues is when they spoke in tongues, the Holy Spirit took what came out of their mouth and had people hear it. That's the miracle of tongues. The gift of tongues is what takes place in the body. It's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But the prayer of tongues is what we do. All right, and when we do the prayer of tongues, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we're not even supposed to do it in church. Did you know that? Let me show it to you in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:23. So before you can understand speaking in tongues, you got to understand in the Bible and in 1 Corinthians 13 in the original Greek, there are three different words used for three different speaking in tongues. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, it says this, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there came in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that we are mad? Now, if it said this is with this speaking in tongues here is the speaking in tongues of praying in tongues. And it's true. We would think, well, if speaking in tongues is talking in God's language, why don't we all just come into church and talk in God's language constantly? Because that's not the purpose of praying in tongues. The purpose of praying in tongues has other purposes. And the Bible says right here that if we come in church and we do it, nobody gets anything out of it except they think we're crazy. How many guys have been in church service and you walked out and thought, man, that was crazy? Maybe I'm the only one that grew up thinking. I've been in some crazy church services growing up. We've been through church services to where, I mean, I would walk out saying crazy. Now, I've seen God do crazy things, seen the Holy Spirit, and I totally believe it. But if we were to come together and do our prayer tongues, in other words, pray in tongues like you get when you receive the Holy Spirit, then what would take place is this. Everyone would just think you're crazy. I got to tell you, I pray in tongues every day. I pray in tongues lots of times all through my day. Every time right now, me and Jen, when we're at the treadmill, I try to pray in tongues for 2 miles a day. I've changed it to miles, distance instead of time, Chris. Trying to do it in 2 miles a day. Because, why? I'm not doing anything else. And the Bible says, but by me praying in tongues, I get the benefit of it edifies and builds my spirit up. So tonight, I'm not going to talk about the gift of tongues. We'll talk about that in April. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in and edifies the body. I'm not going to talk about the miracle of tongues. Because I got to be honest with you, I really don't understand a lot of those. And we will talk about them at some point. Because I have studied, because I've wanted to know, and I know what other people have said. But I am going to talk tonight about the prayer of tongues. because that's available to every single person in here. And if you get it, you don't want to lose it. It's life transforming. And so we're going to go over just a couple minutes here. Are we out of time already? For real? Well, let's hit a couple of these, and I'll say we'll just pick up right on these benefits next week. All right, that's what it says. 101 benefits of speaking in tongues. Number one, tongues is the entrance to the supernatural. And this is learned by experience. Because once I was filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, I catch myself. Even before I begin to pray in English, I automatically go into speaking in holy speaking in tongues. And I don't know why, and I can't explain it. It's like the Holy Spirit knows that we're fixing to spend some time together. And it's like the entrance. So if you have a hard time getting into a place where you can pray, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you need the evidence of speaking in tongues, because this is an entrance. It can be the beginning of every prayer time. It can begin to be the entrance or the beginning of every spiritual movement you ever have. And you'll catch yourself. You'll catch yourself anytime you get into a place where God's about to do something, you'll start speaking in tongues. It's amazing. Let me tell you this, tell you my story about speaking in tongues. It's not a learned language. You can't mimic it. You can't. When we were children's pastors and they would teach you to put a puppet on your hand and you were teaching on the Holy Spirit, they would tell you that, you know, you're not supposed to blaspheme the Holy Ghost or make fun of it, you know, all that. But you know what they would say when you're doing puppets is when you're teaching a kid, say, untie my bow tie real fast with the puppet on your hand. And it was the mimicking of speaking in tongues. And so when I was a children's pastor, you'd be reading a puppet skit, and it would get to that puppet speaking in tongues. It would say, untie my bow tie, untie my bow tie, untie my... How many guys say it? That sounds kind of like speaking in tongues, doesn't it? Or, go crank my Honda, go crank my Honda. You know, there's all kind of... It doesn't make any sense. Speaking in tongues doesn't. Now, you can learn mimicking words, but if you've learned it, it's not praying in the Holy Spirit. It's an unlearned language, but it's a real language. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, there were people praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit. I remember it was in the old Victory Church. If you've ever drove from Camden to Fordyce and you're driving from Canterbury and you get to the John Deere place, how many of you guys know where I'm talking about? All right. The rock building just a half mile past the John Deere place, that's the old Victory Church. That's where I grew up. My parents were pastors there. That's where Victory Christian School started. That church was a little bitty thing, then it branched all off in every area, and now half of it's gone again. But that's where the Victory Church started with three members. And you know, before they moved up, but I as vivid as it can be, we had blue carpet. I was standing at the left side of the altar, combing like he was there. He asked, anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Come up. I went up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He laid his hands on me and said, be filled like they do. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't feel anything, didn't do anything. And he said, just open your mouth and start saying what you feel on the inside. Open. And all I could say was shun. And he pulled back and said, that's it. And I thought, that's not it. That was one more shun. Shun. And he said, say it again. Shun, shun, shun. And he said, go home and you keep doing that. He said, because your openness and your willingness is something that the Holy Spirit can work through. And so I went home that night saying shun, shun. And for a week, literally every night when I went to bed, I didn't do much praying when I was a kid, but I did do it when I laid in bed. I just say, until it began to unfold. And it was like this. Anybody got a piece of paper? You don't carry paper anymore. Anybody got a piece of paper? Can I just have a piece of paper? It was like this right here. Yeah, it started out so small. Just one little word. Shun. Shun. And then as I began to do it, it was like the Holy Spirit began to unfold that piece of paper. And I began to get my prayer language and get words that, I got to be honest, I have no idea what they mean. I have no idea what I'm praying. But you need to know, I'm going to give five benefits tonight, and then we'll do the rest later. You need to know the benefits of not knowing what you're saying when you're praying. Because the prayer of tongues is a supernatural thing. Number one reason why, the benefit of praying in tongues is it opens the door to the supernatural. Number two is, praying in tongues is the New Testament prayer. It's what Jesus died for. Do you understand that? We get to a place where we think Jesus died just to forgive us of our sins. He didn't. He died to forgive you for your sins so that the Holy Spirit could come and fill you and you could receive the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So the way they prayed in the New Testament, the reason why Jesus came and died was so that we could have the opportunity. Because they prayed to God in the Old Testament. But they didn't pray in tongues in the Old Testament. It is the prayer of the New Testament. Now, do you got to have it to be able to pray to God? No. But it is the prayer of the New Testament. And if you want to experience God in the way they experience Him in the New Testament, with freedom and grace and liberty, I'm telling you, the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit and able to speak in tongues is the being able to live and pray the life of the New Testament. Next one is this. It is a secret language that only you and God have. How many guys ever saw the movie U-571, the boat, the movie? U-571, great movie. And the whole movie premises is how Germany, and I hadn't seen it in a long time, you tell me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Germany had the code, the secret code that we were trying to crack? They had this, they had a secret code that America could not crack. And the way they were advancing and their armies were advancing was every message and every mission that Germany had planned, they would send it out in this secret code. Well, America could not crack the code. And then what happened was America got some intelligence that there was a typewriter. And that's how they would write those secret coded messages. That these special typewriters had regular letters and they would type the message. But the keys had these secret codes on it. And that's how the keys would make these things. And so they were able to send these secret messages off of a typewriter. And it was what was giving Germany the upper hand to keep ahead of America and the Allied forces. And so the whole movie's about them going after this U-boat that had one of those typewriters on it. Because when America got that typewriter and they were able to get it and use it, it began to decode all the plans, and it was the turn of the German war. We began at that point to get ahead of Germany and Japan. And that was one of they relate that back to the turning point of how we got victory. All right. So it was a secret code. Spraying in tongues is a secret code that God has designed that only you and Him have. You say, well, you know, I don't even know what I'm saying when I'm saying it. Doesn't matter. Your spirit does. The Bible says that when we worship God, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, your mind messes up a lot of things. And I got to let you know something. The devil understands the language of men. I can show it to you in the scripture. In Daniel, it says Daniel prayed 21 days. And it said this, God said, I heard your prayer. The angel came to Daniel and said, I heard your prayer on the first day. But so did the enemy. And we have been fighting in the heavenlies over your answer. And they just got a breakthrough. Now, Daniel wasn't praying in tongues. That's Old Testament prayer. New Testament prayer is New Testament. So when we pray in tongues, it is a secret coded language that bypasses all of your reasoning, bypasses all of your understanding, and directly connects your spirit to it. So why is it important, though, that you have a secret code? One, so that you can outsmart the enemy. That's how the war was changed in World War II. The war was won by a secret code and decoding that secret code. So God's got a code that the devil can't crack. And it's called the Holy Spirit. Why is it that I need that secret code? Number one is because, you know what? I'm not that smart. And you may not believe it either, but you're not that smart either. When it comes to the things of God and the wiles of the devil and all those things, the devil is a lot smarter. He's been at it a lot longer than we have. And so the thing about it is you may be praying over something the way you feel like it needs to be prayed over, but the truth is, God and the devil are smarter in those areas than you are. And so when you move into the point of, you know what, giving up intellectually about this thing, and I'm going to begin to pray about it God's way, when I begin to speak in tongues and pray in tongues over this thing, then what happens is I pray the will of God in this area, and the devil can't do anything about it. It's a secret language that the enemy cannot interfere with. It prays your future that you have no idea what your future is. You don't know what tomorrow holds. The Bible actually says that. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. But do you know what? Time is not affected by God. God can see tomorrow. Then that's why He said this. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? He can see forever. And He's already made up His mind. He's not changing. He can see through time. We can't. So when we pray in English, the enemy can hear it And we are praying into, but when we pray in tongues, what it is it's far exceeding. It's a secret code that God uses. You're praying your destiny and your future into being, even though you have no idea what your destiny and your future is. I used to have a friend named John Wazowski was his name. His ministry is WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. Is what, and his whole ministry was that. And he has this book called Can't Get Enough Ice. And the whole book of that premise is when I used to travel and speak around at conferences with different guys, he would always be on one of these traveling, because he would pray in tongues 4 hours a day. And I always felt so unspiritual when we'd be at the same conferences with him, because he would come and knock on my door. John Wazowski is his name. He'd come knock on my door at like 3 a.m. And because I was young and didn't know any better then, that was his ministry, it wasn't my ministry, I'd try to get up out of bed and go walk and pray in tongues with him. And I got to be honest with you, if you're not conditioned to pray in tongues 4 and 5 hours a day, you can't do it. Your tongue just can't, I mean, physically, you cannot do it. Try it tomorrow. Try to pray 30 minutes in tongues without stopping. If you're filled with those, but try it. I wasn't kidding. But this was his belief system on it. He believed that the scripture out of Job says, there is treasure in the snow. The Lord gave him a revelation that praying in tongues is like snow. And do you know what the value of snow is? Do you know what treasure of snow is? Snow allows you to store water in places where water is impossible to store water. In other words, in the form of snow, you can store 20,000 up to 1,000,000 gallons of water on the side of a mountain. Couldn't be possible without snow. And he says, if you look at life as your life being a valley with the stream flowing through it, beautiful garden-esque, picturesque thing, and on each side are these mountaintops, and as you're walking through life and walking down by the stream, because seasons change and because weather conditions do, you get to a place where the heat and drought takes place. And when heat and droughts takes place, what happens is that stream in that beautiful valley begins to dry up and the vegetation begins to die. If there's not another source of water to feed that valley, then all the life in it could turn into a desert and die. But he said that's the power of praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, what you're doing is you are building and you are laying up prayers on the side of your mountains that are ahead of you. And as you walk through life and that those mountains are getting compiled with prayers that you're praying that you don't even know what they are or know what they're being, by praying in tongues, connected with the Spirit, that snow embankment is getting heavier. And so what happens to snow embankments when the sun begins to get hot? They begin to melt. So a life that understands that praying in tongues is me praying over my future and things like that are to come that I have no idea. What that does is you're keeping your life fed even when drought seasons begin to come about. All right, I'm way over. Time's out. We got 101 things, and I'm sorry, I thought we'd get through it today. We did. We'll get through the major parts next week. If you're concerned or if you got an interest about speaking in tongues, I'm telling you, there's so many reasons. When you get speaking in tongues, what God does is give you that secret language. And you get one of those secret typewriters. You say, well, what good is a secret language if I don't ever know what it is I'm praying? I tell you, I've never met anybody that prays in tongues, that's been praying in tongues for a long time, that did not get down the road and they were able to interpret what it was they were praying over. In other words, when they spent their time speaking and praying about their future events, they got to their future and they say, wow, I can tell this was the plan of God for me that I've been praying for all along. Because you can physically see it at that point. And there's so many benefits to praying in tongues. Another one is this. Strong spirits pray in tongues. The more you pray in tongues, the stronger your spirit gets. Did you know the disciples were weaklings and wimps? They were as close to Jesus as you could be. But they could not say no to their flesh. They could not do it. Every one of them moved into the flesh when things got hard. Even to the point where doubting Thomas. He could not even believe Jesus. But the Bible says that they received power when they received the power of the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in tongues. They had the power to overcome their flesh. What is the benefits of speaking in tongues? Every one of them guys that it mentioned that was speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, it never talked about them being in the flesh again. And that's a pretty good benefit. That thing you've been dealing with in the flesh, you know, saying that's a pretty good benefit of you getting over it. But let's pray real quick. I just want to pray. Father God, I ask you to take your word and seal it. Holy Ghost, I ask you to take your word and use it this week to cause us to open up our mindsets and think. I'm sorry if I've messed up the time somehow, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to take it that it was your leading tonight. We'll get into the rest of this next week. But Holy Spirit, I believe that you are about to release a power in this church like never before. And all the way through the Word, Holy Spirit, your Word says it came when they were when they were filled with you, or they received more of you, or they moved by you, that miraculous miracles and power was released. So I ask you to begin to prepare every heart, God. Open every mind over the next week. Because next week, Holy Spirit, we're going to give you an opportunity to fill those that desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I ask you to take the next 7 days and use them to prepare us in the name of Jesus. Amen.